ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय O my Lord, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you, who have assumed the form of a tortoise. You are the reservoir of all transcendental qualities, and being entirely untinged by matter, you are perfectly situated in pure goodness. You move here and there in the water, but no one can discern your position. Therefore, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Because of your transcendental position, you are not limited by past, present, and future. You are present everywhere as the shelter of all things, and therefore, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you again and again. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. In the Brahma Samhita, it is said, Goloka eva ne Goloka eva nivasatya lakatma bhuta. The Lord always remains in Goloka, the topmost planet in the spiritual world. At the same time, He is all-pervading. This paradox is only possible for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is full of all opulences. The Lord's all-pervasiveness is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 18:61, where Krishna states, Ishvara sarvabhutanam hridesher junatishtati. The Supreme Lord is seated in everyone's heart, O Arjuna. Elsewhere in Bhagavad Gita 15:15, the Lord says, Sarvasya chaham hridisha nivishto matasmitir jnanam apohanam cha. I am seated in everyone's heart, and from me come remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. Therefore, although the Lord is present everywhere, He cannot be seen with ordinary eyes. As Aryama says, the Lord is anupalakshita sthan. No one can locate Him. This is the greatness of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srila Prabhupada is revealing in this purport how it is only possible for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is full with all opulences, to simultaneously always remain in Goloka, His topmost planet, in the spiritual world, and at the same time, the all-pervading. There is nowhere that the Supreme Lord is not personally existing, both through His energies, Brahman, He is pervading everything. The sun, in one location, is emitting rays which are none different from the sun. Although the sun has its place semi-permanently within the sky. Through the rays or the energy of the Lord, the sun, is all-pervading within the universe. In the same way, although the Lord is always existing in Goloka Vrindavan, by the rays of his body, which are not different from himself, he manifests as Brahman everywhere, all-pervading. All material and spiritual worlds, the Lord is existing. Everything is within the Lord, and the Lord is within everything. Also, the Lord expands himself, as Srila Prabhupada is explaining herein, as the Paramatma. Within this material creation, the Paramatma is everywhere, within the heart of every living being. The Paramatma knows every thought, sees every action, hears every word of everyone, always. The Paramatma never sleeps. Always alert is the constant witness. For the bacteria, the insects, plant life, the reptiles, the birds, the beasts, all varieties of human beings, demigods, asuras, Paramatma is within the heart. And it is that Paramatma that is directing the wanderings of everyone. Ishvara sarva bhutanam hriddeshe arjuna tishtate. From within the heart. According to our desires, according to our karmas, the Paramatma is directing us forward or backward. We have our free will, and the Lord sees how at every moment we either use properly or misuse that free will. A devotee understanding the presence of the Paramatma within the heart is very careful. Hypocrisy is seen immediately by the Paramatma. And it is a great detriment to one's spiritual progress. Essentially, honesty does not only extend to speaking truthful, straightforward, in a simple way to the people of this world around us, but on the spiritual platform, honesty is acting, speaking in such a way that the Lord within the heart is satisfied. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he tells that the first principle that must be adopted to make real progress in the path of bhakti is simplicity. Simplicity means no duplicity. An honest, straightforward lifestyle. Clear and transparent. To be simple, humility is required. Because false pride is the very basis in which so many complications come into our life. But if we are humble, honest, straightforward, that is simplicity. Without a separate agenda. Not that I say something, but it's veiled with another purpose. Not that I do something, but there's an ulterior motive behind it for some selfish purpose. Simple person is a person who the Paramatma within the heart is pleased with. So this type of simplicity must be there in our dealings with others in the world and our dealings with the constant witness of the Paramatma within the heart. Why? Why we're not conscious of Paramatma? Why we don't feel his watchful eye at every moment? Why we don't feel his pleasure and displeasure with everything we do? As we make spiritual progress, we actually do have that experience. However, the Lord, being all merciful, he gives us free will. And in order to facilitate that, the Lord makes himself invisible to our consciousness so that we can exercise our free will. If, again and again, we defy the direction and the will of the Lord in the heart, then the Lord simply, to facilitate our desire, makes himself invisible. So that the grossly materialistic people, they have no conception there even is a Lord in the heart. They consider that they are independent and on their own. There is no watchful eye. There is no monitoring spiritual agent. After all, life is a combination of chemicals that have evolved to where we are today. And whatever we do, and however we do it, essentially it doesn't matter. For social purposes, we may choose morality and ethics. But there's no binding reason why we should do it. How is that possible? The Lord is sitting within the heart, right next to the Jivatma. As the Upanishad describes, like two birds in the same tree. One bird is simply watching. The other bird is trying to enjoy the fruits of the tree. Sometimes it bites into a sweet fruit and feels great pleasure. But then at another time it bites into a bitter fruit and feels great pain. And such a bird, it's very hard, the way the tree's fruits are, to discriminate which is sweet and which is bitter. Sometimes enjoying, sometimes suffering. But the other bird is simply watching, waiting for the day when we turn to him. So similarly, the Paramatma reveals himself to us yegatamam prapadyante tamstataiva bhajamyaham. When we actually turn to Him. And to the degree we're turning to Him, to the degree we're taking shelter of the Lord within the heart, the Lord makes His presence visible. So those who are engaging in irreligious activities, egoistic pursuits, they do not want the Lord to be watching. So the Lord more or less hides Himself. Just like one of the demons. Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu. This was their logic. That what could Lord Vishnu do? He's so afraid that He's hiding in the hearts of all living beings. What He can do to you. What He can do to me. So afraid of my prowess that He's gone hiding in the hearts of all living beings. So yes, if the Lord wants to hide, no one could find Him. And if the Lord wants to make Himself visible, then no one can resist Him. Nityo nityanam chetanas chetananam eko bahunam yo vidadati kamam. There is one supreme eternal, the absolute truth. And there are infinite eternals. And those infinite eternals are eternally subordinate to the one supreme eternal. That is Krishna. Krishna can be within the heart of every living being and in and between every atom. How many manifestations of Paramatma are in this city of Mumbai? There is no possible number that we could ever fathom. There is no computer that could even come up with such a number. That could properly reveal the amount of Paramatmas in this city. What to speak of the country, the world, the universe, the cosmic manifestation. This is the greatness of the Lord. He has practically infinite forms. And they never sleep, they never rest. And each of these Paramatmas is very personal. It's just specifically your Paramatma. So intimate, so personal. Each of us have our own little Paramatma in the heart. And whatever birth we take, that Paramatma just keeps coming with us. Never gives up on us. That's the most amazing thing. Even if we become tyrants, even if we absolutely blaspheme the Lord, blaspheme His devotees, engage in the most nefarious activities that give the greatest displeasure to the Lord, still, He's right there in our heart. He never leaves. That would be eternal condemnation. If the Paramatma thought, you're such a wicked, evil person that I leave you forever. But the Lord is so kind. Even if He sends us to the darkest regions of hell to suffer the consequences of our sinful acts, still, our own personal Paramatma is there with us in the heart. Even if due to our sinful acts we're cast down to a species of bacteria, our loving Father is right there with us, never gives up on us. That is unconditional love. In order for there to be love, there must be free will. But in order for people in this world to eventually make the right choice, the laws of karma have been created. And there are amazingly intensified forms of pleasure and pain that one can enjoy or suffer in this world. The Lord has created them, but we're the ones who make the choice of which to accept. Any one of us could just make the decision to go to a heavenly planet and enjoy like Indra. Or we can make the decision to enter into planets that the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam describe, where there's such pain that a human being with a human body could never survive even a minute of such pain. We would just crack. It's just too much. But there we experience the same thing we would feel here, but we live through it constantly. It's hellish. That's what we really mean by hellish. But that is our free will. The Lord is not sending us there. We're choosing to go there. And He has created the laws that will simply automatically work accordingly. And as the Paramatma, He's supervising it all within the heart. But even though He has created that, still, He never leaves a single living entity. Out of the unlimited living entities who are envious of Him within this cosmic manifestation, never for a moment does the Paramatma ever leave the side of the spirit soul. He's always there. And why is He always there? Not for the purpose of punishing. He's always there to give shelter. To whatever extent we have abandoned Him, He's always the closest thing to the soul to give us shelter. There's nothing closer than the Paramatma to the Jivatma. Physically, spiritually, on every level. When the soul enters into the body, like a little sun planet, its energy in the form of sunshine, according to the example, takes the form of consciousness. Why every part of the body we can experience? Because there's consciousness flowing there. And that consciousness is the energy of the soul. That the soul is localized in a particular place within our heart. Within this material world, the Upanishads describe it as the size of 1/10,000th that of the tip of a hair. And not only is it so tiny and small, but even if you had a microscope that could see something that small, you still couldn't see it. Because you're looking at it through an eye made out of flesh and blood. But the soul is not constituted of the eight elements of material existence. Earth, water, fire, air, ether. You can't see the mind. You can see brain waves, but those are just symptoms or manifestations of what's happening. But the mind you can never see with the senses because it's a subtle element. And subtler than the mind is the intelligence. And even subtler is the ego. The spirit soul is not subtler than the ego. The spirit soul is of another nature. The spirit soul is not constituted of any material elements that can be perceived by the material senses, both gross or subtle. We cannot really even conceive of the Lord within our mind or our intelligence, because the Lord is pure spiritual. Mamaivamso jivaloke jivabhuta sanatana. And Krishna reveals in Gita that what is the nature of the Atma? It is part and parcel of the Supreme Atma. We are part of God. We are not God, but we are part of God. We are of the same spiritual quality of God. And it is that spiritual quality which is such an infinitesimal little particle of the Supreme that has so much power. Power to attract. Power to destroy. We have seen what people can do within the world we live in. That's just the power of the soul. It's not the power of the body. Because the body can function in no way without the dynamic energy of the spirit within it. And that jivatma, the closest thing to the jivatma is the paramatma. As long as we remain within this material world. When we go back home, back to Godhead, the spiritual world, then there's no need for paramatmas. The Lord is personally, as Bhagavan, present in our lives, engaging in transcendental pastimes with us forever. So this is mercy. Who is it in this world who has that power to never abandon you under any situation for even a moment? In hundreds of billions of years within this material creation, the Paramatma does not close his eyes or ears for a moment. He's always there, waiting. That is love. That is all-pervading. So people who have a very poor fund of knowledge of the nature of God, they believe in this misconception that we can become God, or that some earthly being in this world is God. The best we could do is be godly. The best we could do, the ultimate perfection, prema pumartha mahan, is to love God. Lord Chaitanya revealed from the scriptures that beyond even mukti is love of God. Mukti is liberation from material sufferings. And often, in order to attain that state of freedom from sufferings, we temporarily forget our own identity, both material and spiritual. And we simply exist within Brahman. But higher than that is to awaken one's constitutional nature. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sajya Kabunoi, which is to love Krishna. It is the essence of our existence to love God, to serve God, to willingly, spontaneously surrender to the will of God. A neophyte devotee surrenders to the will of God as an austerity, to give up things that we want to do, that we long and crave to do, but we say no, to be obedient to the will of God, to do things that we have no inclination for, in obedience to the will of God. That is a premature level of surrender. But when the heart becomes pure, surrender is the spontaneous nature of our love. There's simply nothing else we could even conceive of doing except what pleases Krishna. Therefore, Lord Shiva told to Parvati, Narayana parasarave nakutashtina bibhyate swarga pavarga narakeshu apitulyata darshana. See these pure devotees of Narayan. How pure is their heart? For them, it makes no difference at all whether they're in the flames of hell or in the palaces of heaven, because their only concern is to please the Lord. If they can please the Lord in hell or please the Lord in heaven, makes no difference to them. That is the transcendental position. Srila Prabhupada explains, to become one with God in the perfect state is for our desire to be one with Krishna's desire. Not to lose our identity. The most intimate and sweetest form of oneness is the oneness of love. Yoga. When the Jivatma and the Paramatma unite in the ecstatic experience of love. And it is for this purpose, to give us this chance, that Krishna remains personally beside the soul in every situation at all times. Srila Prabhupada gave an example that for honest people, when they see a policeman, they feel very protected. But for criminals, what is their experience when they see a policeman? They feel fearful. Srila Prabhupada explains, even if a policeman comes in with good intentions, if he comes in the room, everybody becomes very disturbed. Why has he come? Who is he looking for? What is he doing? Yes. So when we become devotee, we have consciousness of the Lord within our heart. For people who have spent so many lifetimes grossly neglecting the will of the Lord, sarvasya chaham hridisha nivishto matasvitira jnanam apohanam cha. The Lord is the cause of remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. The animal species are not conscious of the Paramatma, although the Paramatma is directing practically everything they do. But they have no consciousness. They're only thinking of enjoying eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, totally immersed in the bodily conception of life. There's no consideration, there's no thought of anything beyond relieving pain and finding pleasure for the body. That is the lower species. Paramatma is right there, but invisible, hiding from our consciousness. And in human life, for those who are grossly atheistic, materialistic, they have no conception that there's a Paramatma. But when we actually understand the principle of religion, then we know that God is always watching us. This is a principle of every great religion of the world, that the Lord's eyes are always upon us. His ears are always open to whatever we say. Now, the Vedic literatures, they explain these basic principles in scientific, philosophical detail. How is it that the Lord is always with us? Bhagavad Gita, there's beautiful verse. Everywhere are his eyes and ears, his legs and arms. In this way, the super soul, the Paramatma, exists. The Lord is seated within the heart of everyone. In this way, Krishna is all-pervading as well. Through his energy of Brahman, everything is within him. He is all-pervading. And through his personal feature of Paramatma, the Paramatma is not just an energy of God. It is God himself personally existing within us. The Paramatma is personal. It's the personality of Godhead in this feature. So this is Krishna. Although he is eternally in Goloka Vrindavan, performing his beautiful pastimes, dancing with gopis, playing wonderful games with the gopas, causing anxiety to Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj by his loving pranks. Every cow, every calf, every peacock, every parrot, every tree is intimately thinking that Krishna is always with me. The reservoir of all pleasure, Navayovanam cha, in his eternally youthful form, is playing upon his flute, has the pleasure and the ultimate ornament of Sri Vrindavan Dham. And in Vrindavan, Krishna's Rasaraj, or in Bombay we call him Rasa Bihari, he's simply enjoying. He's the supreme enjoyer. He has nothing to do with material existence. Now, if you're a businessman or a housewife, you may enjoy with your friends that any moment the phone may ring. Especially now we have these cell phones. And some duty, you're called for some duty somewhere else. And your enjoyment is either disturbed or diverted. Yes? So how is it? Every living being within this material existence is the child of God. Aham bija pratapita. Krishna is the eternal father and mother of every living being. Now, if you're on holiday in Tirupati, and all of a sudden your cellular phone rings and your little son or daughter has just been hit by a car and is in the hospital in critical condition, can you enjoy your darshan of Balaji? Huh? Will you be having nice time? No, it will be a diversion. At the least, it will be a diversion. So Krishna's in Goloka Vrindavan. And here, his sons and daughters, some of them are doing nefarious activities, some are getting horrible diseases, some are being cast down to hellish planets. Hare Krishna. So how can you enjoy? How can you enjoy Ras Lila when all these things are going on? Isn't it a diversion? Is it that God doesn't really love us? He doesn't really care what happens to us in this material world? Or is it that he's just so totally immersed in Leelas that he just turns off his cellular phone and doesn't get any news about anything except right there in the Ras Mandala? The Supreme Personality of Godhead has inconceivable potencies. Nothing disturbs his Leela in Goloka Vrindavan. He expands himself. He expands himself into planetary portions that are absolutely non-different from him, and they're worrying about all the affairs of this world. Yes? He expands himself as the Paramatma. And he's transcendentally right there to help us in every situation. Meanwhile, in Goloka, Krishna's aloof to all these things. But at the same time, he's not aloof to anything, because the self-same personality is taking other forms to deal with all these situations. That is God. Who can do that? Who could be simultaneously absolutely attentive and feeling pain to see the suffering of others and be enjoying eternally aloof from it all? Have you ever met anyone? Sri Radha Gopinath Ki Jai. Gopinath is always smiling, playing his flute. And he expands himself in so many ways to perform all the functions of material creation. That's the duty of Karuna Dakshai Vishnu, Garbho Dakshai Vishnu, and essentially Chiru Dakshai Vishnu. Chiru Dakshai Vishnu is living in Svetadvipa in a planet within each universe, and at the same time, he's within the heart of every living being, as our father, as our mother, watching over us. And is there a difference between Paramatma and Krishna in Goloka? Absolutely no difference. Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva. The Paramatma is Krishna, just performing a very merciful, intimately loving function for us. If it wasn't for living entities rebelling against Krishna, he would not be a Paramatma. He would not be a super soul in anyone's heart. It's for our sake. So the more we understand the inconceivable greatness of the Lord, the more we can be aware of his presence. So for a devotee who theoretically understands the Paramatma is within my heart, watching and hearing, tasting and smelling, feeling everything we do, Hare Krishna. And the Paramatma is proportionately pleased or displeased with everything we do or say. Even everything we think. And he's there to give us shelter. Now for those who rebel against the Lord, who know they're doing the wrong thing, for such people, they want to temporarily forget the Paramatma. Yes? If you're doing something you know Guru does not want and Krishna does not want, you know you're doing something the scriptures warn us against, then do you want to feel that Paramatma, here I am again, I'm doing it again? You can't enjoy if you're thinking like that, can you? And the whole purpose of doing it is to enjoy. So there's a dilemma. What to do? So somehow or other, we want to forget the Lord. I want to remember you, but not now. Let me just turn off the channel till tomorrow morning. And then I'll turn it on, and then I want you to be right there watching everything I do, and I want to be thinking of you and meditating on you and chanting your holy names. But for now, please, you know, just let me just turn off the station. Otherwise, how can we enjoy? It's psychotic. Paramatma's watching. I want to love you, I want to remember you, but I'm doing things that you don't want. And you're seeing. And you're frowning on me. Yes? Generally, little children are most naughty when their parents are not watching. Yes? That's why, I don't know India as much, but I know in America, where people are traditionally more naughty in the Western world, unless we really need them for our sense gratification, we don't want our parents anywhere around. We want them to live and be happy, but not where I am. Yes? That's it. Time of marriage? Who lives with their parents in the West? Joint family? That's something that it's practically unheard of, unless you come to India. In fact, usually as soon as you get 18 years old, you're gone. You're out of the house. And you just come back, you know, to collect something. Then you're gone. Why? Because you don't want your parents watching. They're simply a disturbance. You only want to see them when you need them. Hare Krishna. Well, that's the way a neophyte devotee is too. We want to be meditating on the Lord within our heart when we're doing our bhajan, when we're doing our deity worship, when we're doing our seva. But if we're going to do something that we know the Lord doesn't want, we don't want to feel His eyes upon us. We want to forget Him temporarily. But the Lord never forgets us. That is the dilemma. Whether you like it or not, whether you want it or not, the eyes are watching with the same intensity. It's not that, you know, when you're doing sinful activity, he watches less. He's watching in the same way, always. And this is what determines our spiritual progress. How faithful we are to the presence of the Paramatma within our heart. Chaitya Guru. He's the Guru within the heart. But because since time immemorial, we have been very selective in when we remember Him and when we forget Him, and because of that phenomena, we can't hear Him anymore. Sometimes, on rare occasions, some intuition comes. But in general, we can't hear Him. We can't see Him. From Krishna's side, the connection is live and well. But from our side, we're unable. So therefore, the Lord, out of His causeless mercy, manifests as the spiritual master. Who is the Guru? The Guru is simply the representative of the Paramatma within our heart. what the Paramatma wants to tell us that we cannot hear, he's speaking in a way that we can hear in the form of Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. The scriptures are the words of Paramatma. We can read them. The sadhus are the living embodiments of the will of the Paramatma. And the spiritual master is specifically instructing us what the Paramatma wants us to know and wants us to do. That is the Lord's mercy. So many arrangements He has made to deliver us from within and without. And all we have to do is just cooperate. Srila Prabhupada told us, if you just follow my instructions, simple instructions, follow these regulative principles, chant at least 16 rounds every day, stay in the association of devotees, be humble and try to do service, you will go back home, back to Godhead in this life. The Lord has made so many arrangements for us. All we have to do is just cooperate. But in Kali Yuga, cooperation is very difficult. Is it not? Just to cooperate. It's so difficult. Brahmanda Brahmite Kona Bhagyavan Jiva. After so many, many, many lifetimes of just wandering through the universes, just under the dictation of the mind and senses, finally, by the grace of Paramatma, he speaks to us through spiritual master. And then everything is given to us. All we have to do is cooperate. But due to our past conditionings, the false ego, the tendency to cheat, lust and envy and anger and pride and greed, we still have these things. And Krishna and Guru from within and without are trying to teach us how to purify ourselves. Arjuna asks Krishna, what is that power that makes even a good person act in abominable ways as if forced to do so? Kama esha krodha esha rajoguna shamudbhava. It is this lust, kama, this passion to be the enjoyer. Yatato hyapikontaya purushasya vipaschita indriyani pramatini haranti prashabhamana. The senses are so strong and impetuous that they can carry away the intelligence even of a man of discrimination who is trying to control them. We have created the monster of our desires to enjoy through surrendering to Maya since time immemorial. So now it is a very powerful force within us, a force more powerful than our own, than ourselves. Daivihe sukunamai mama maya duratyaya. This material nature, especially Rajaguna and Tamaguna, very powerful. But one who surrenders to me can easily cross beyond it. This is our only hope, to take shelter. And that is essentially why the Paramatma is sitting at our side forever, to give us shelter. To make that shelter available to every living being. Vyabhasayatmaka buddhir ekeha kurunandana buhushaka hinantascha buddhayo vyabhasayana. But in order to achieve that shelter, one must have determination. It doesn't come automatically. We can wait birth after birth after birth, thinking, Krishna, give me shelter. We could cry out for shelter. But along with our cry for shelter must be the simultaneous determination to live in harmony with the will of God. Srila Prabhupada, he remarked that if you have no determination, then you're no different than an animal. Qualitatively, the distinguishing factor between a human and an animal is determination. We have our free will. The animal is just constantly engaging in the dictations of the mind and senses. In the human life, the free will of the soul is awakened to such a degree that we could say no to the mind and senses. Animals cannot do this, but we have that power. That is human life. If we do not exercise it, then the scriptures call us two-legged animals. But even if we want to exercise it, even with immense determination, who are we in the face of material energy? Maya. Maya is Krishna's potency. Maya is all powerful. Our determination is not enough. Krishna says we must take shelter of him. We must humble ourselves and understand our helpless condition and surrender to the Lord. But an integral part of taking shelter of the Lord is exercising the power of our determination. As it is said, Benjamin Franklin said it, but we can take wisdom from any voice. God helps them who help themselves. He spoke it because he couldn't tolerate seeing lazy people in the name of God. Yes? Prabhupada also could not tolerate lazy people. When Prabhupada came to New Vrindavan in 1969, he saw such nice hills and trees, beautiful surroundings. He came just at the beginning of the summer. It's very nice. And he warned, do not allow anyone to come here to enjoy the atmosphere. Everyone must work hard. No one lazy. Krishna cannot tolerate laziness. Prabhupada did not tolerate laziness. Why? Out of their mercy. Because if we're lazy, we get nowhere. So we cannot be lazy. We must be fully engaged. The idle mind is someone else's workshop. So we must be very careful. Idle mind is the devil's workshop. So we must keep busy for Krishna with determination. It is that determination to do the will of the Lord that is an integral part of taking shelter of the Lord. It is taking shelter is not something passive that we just We just coast along with whatever dictations Maya throws in front of us. And we, Krishna save me, Krishna save me. Ah, yes, yes, let me enjoy this. Krishna save me. If we try to, if we think like that, the curtain will close. We must be very serious. We must be taking shelter, but taking shelter means, Krishna, I'm yours. And what does that mean? I'm going to do what you want me to do. That is taking shelter. Not that, yes, I should chant 16 rounds. I'm taking shelter of you, Krishna, but I just don't have time today to chant 16 rounds. But I'm taking shelter of you, Krishna. Taking shelter means determination to do the will of God. With the consciousness that our determination is not the factor. Our determination is simply from our side to show our sincerity. And ultimately, it is Krishna's power that gives us the ability to succeed. So, in this beautiful verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, Aryama is praying to Kurma Avatar. How, although he's very mysteriously swimming around in that ocean of milk, he's all pervading. He's everywhere, seeing everything, controlling everyone. In 1811, I believe, no? What year was it? No. 1911, perhaps. Ah, yes. I don't remember the exact date now. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he was the son of Bhaktivinod Thakur. He was born in Jagannath Puri. And Thakur Bhaktivinod then shifted to Calcutta, where he was about to start a place which would be famous throughout history of Gaudiya Vaishnavism as his Bhajan Kutir. He was building his home. In the name of that home became Bhakti Asana, yes. So, when they were digging the foundation for the building, from the ground manifested a deity of Sri Kurmadev. Very special. Because we know in Kurma's Leela, he is the foundation. The demigods, the demons, they were churning the ocean of milk to get nectar. Mandara Mountain was the churning rod. Vasuki was the rope. They were churning to get that nectar. But the mountain was sinking. And the demigods prayed to Vishnu. There was nothing they could do. And Vishnu appeared as this gigantic tortoise. His shell was 800,000 miles across. Hare Krishna. Now you may consider that inconceivable. But so what? Who cares what you think? That is not going to determine what Krishna does for his leelas. For Krishna, if you understand he's God, for him to assume a form that's 12 inches or 800,000 miles, there's no difference. It's not that one is harder and one is easier for the Lord. Everything is easy for the Lord. He could do anything he wants, anytime. Yes? He can create sun planets and float it in the sky. Can you do that? He can do anything. So for a devotee, when they hear this number, 800,000 miles, now this Earth planet is only about 25,000 miles around. So how many times bigger than the Earth circumference was Kurma? Very big. 800,000 miles. But for Kurmavatar, Krishna, he could do anything. He's bigger than the biggest, smaller than the smallest, according to his will. He could become so small that he's the Paramatma within an atomic particle. Yes? Hare Krishna. And then he just entered into the ocean and started swimming downward. And then he reached to the bottom of Mount Mandara and he rested there to form a foundational base. Now everyone knows foundation is so important. Yes. Sometimes when there's earthquakes, if homes don't have good foundations, they just crash. People are crushed to death. But if you have good foundation, then there's very less danger. Yes? So for those of you who are architectural engineers, you can explain in great detail the importance of any building. A strong foundation to build on and to sustain it. The purpose of the foundation is for sustenance. Yes? Maintenance. You can build a mansion on the sand, no problem. But how long will it last? But if you have a good foundation, it can last thousands of years. And there are mansions, there are buildings thousands of years old that are still standing. Hare Krishna. So in our spiritual lives, we require foundation to give us sustenance so that we can build upon that foundation. And Kurma Avatar, his particular function is to give a strong, sustainable foundation to our spiritual lives. Therefore, when Bhaktivinoda Thakur found the deity of Kurma, where he was about to put the foundation of his house, he presented that deity of Kurma Dev to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, whose then name was Bimala Prasad. He was about 8 years old at the time. And Thakur Bhaktivinoda taught him how to worship Kurma Dev. He gave him the mantras to worship Kurma Dev and taught him the process of archana, or deity worship. And simultaneously taught him the process of chanting the holy names of the Lord and reading Srimad Bhagavatam. So Srila Prabhupada, he explained that in the path of bhakti, to make spiritual progress from the conditioned state, there are two rails on the track that bring us to Krishna. One is Pancharatriki Vidhi and Bhagavat Marg. The Narada Pancharatra teaches us, especially the principles of Vidhi Bhakti, the rules and regulations required for worshiping the deity. The rules and regulations to live a moral, ethical life. They are important. Devotees are not so proud that they worship the deities according to their whims. Then it becomes a type of idol worship. You and me, we are not like Gauri Das Pandit, an eternally liberated soul who has descended from Goloka Vrindavan, who picks up a stick before his deity and says, "Eat everything now. You're not eating enough." If you do that, then there will be a stick that will come upon you in your life. And it's not going to be the same stick either. We cannot do that. And Bansidas Babaji Maharaj, he had a nice little deity. He would chastise his deity. Yes, chastise. What are you doing? Why are you doing like this? These are eternally liberated souls. If we do that, then our deity worship is corrupted into idol worship. It's simply sentimental. But the process of archana, according to the Pancharatrika system, is the rules and regulations that govern the process of serving the Lord in His deity form. In other words, on His terms, not ours. Service means the terms of the deity. Punctuality, cleanliness, particular mantras for particular things. When Srila Prabhupada first introduced deity worship in ISKCON, he, very simple, very, very simple. But still, the rules and regulations were there. He said, "If I tell you everything now, what you're supposed to do to worship the deity, you will faint." Hare Krishna. But little by little, he taught us more. But he gave us very simple, because Prabhupada was most concerned with the spirit. Whether it's ascending or descending or this way or that way, Prabhupada wanted us to do it with the proper spirit. And he made it very simple. But still, the path was there. So that is Pantaratrika. To worship the deities very nicely, according to the guidelines of Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. And on the other side is Bhagavad Dharma, which means the teachings of Srimad Bhagavatam. Essentially, Srimad Bhagavatam is all about developing our love of God by hearing the glories of the Lord, by praying sincerely to the Lord, and especially by chanting the holy name.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
So following these four regulative principles, properly worshipping the deities, associating with devotees, hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord, this is the foundation of our spiritual life. If these things are in order, there is stability and we can grow. If these principles are not in order, Srila Prabhupada explained, if we're not chanting our rounds sincerely every day, at any moment, anyone could fall victim to Maya. So we pray to Kurma Dev with this spirit. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was an eternal associate of the Lord from Goloka Vrindavan. But just to teach us by his example, he worshipped Kurmadev according to his father's order. As well as he worshipped the deity, he lived by the highest ethical standards, always enthusiastic to hear and chant the glories of the Lord and the Lord's names. He is Acharya. He's teaching by example. So let us play to Kurmadev to help us to establish this foundation in our spiritual lives. Take shelter of the Lord for this foundation. To not just be sentimental, but to direct our sentiments according to a philosophy that brings substantial results of purification. And in this spirit, to chant Krishna's holy names. Is there any questions? Yes.
Eric Maharaj, thank you very much for this class. You are mentioning about being conscious of the Paramatma. You said that the jnanis, they attain Brahman, and the yogis attain Paramatma realization. It's also said that a devotee, he sees the Lord in the heart, one who has got the ointment of love of God. So is this realization of the devotee who is seeing the Lord in the heart the same as that of the yogi who is seeing the Paramatma?
Yoginam api sarvesham madgatena antaratmana. It is the realization of a perfect yogi, a bhakti yogi. Sometimes the yogis who do not develop undiluted devotion, Anyabhilashita sunyam jnana kamanyanavrita. Rupa Goswami says pure devotional service is untinged with the desire for the results of either jnana or yoga or karma. We don't want elevation to higher material happiness. We don't want mystic powers. We don't want supernatural abilities, nor do we want liberation. We simply want to serve the Lord with love. That is pure devotion. That is love. That is pure devotion. So for a devotee, Krishna manifests within our heart. If yogis are not trained properly according to this system, they may actually meditate and have experience of the Paramatma. But oftentimes, they identify themselves with that Paramatma. And then they get a certain type of Paramatma realization, but love of God does not awaken in their heart. So when such yogis come in contact with pure devotees of the Lord, then their meditation becomes perfect. Does that answer your question? Hare Krishna. Yes, Prabhu.
Thank you, Gurudev, for a wonderful class on the Paramatma. I have a question regarding How do we know if it's the will of the Paramatma? Sometimes we may think it's the will of the Lord that we do something. If there's not the possibility to ask the spiritual master if he's not present.
You can ask senior devotees who speak according to the scripture. The will of the Paramatma is not necessarily that you do this or that. It's how you should do it. If you get a specific instruction, then we understand that is the will of Paramatma. But most instructions are not necessarily specific to what particular thing you do, but how you do it. Yes? You may get a specific instruction, move to Mayapur. So then you understand, Paramatma wants me to move to Mayapur. Or you may get a general, you may get the general instructions, be Krishna conscious, serve Prabhupada's mission. Whether you're in Finland or Belgium or England or Mayapur or Chopati, doesn't really matter. Wherever you are, just be Krishna conscious. Yes? So then we don't need anything any more specific. We already know what we're supposed to do. Wherever we are, we shouldn't engage in illicit sex, intoxication, gambling, or meat eating. Wherever we are, we should chant 16 rounds every day. Wherever we are, we should be associating with devotees as far as possible. And wherever we are, we should try to be assisting the great movement of Lord Chaitanya. Yes? And wherever we are, we should be more humble than a blade of grass, more tolerant than a tree, ready to offer all respect to others and expect none in return. These are the standing laws. Wherever you are, whoever you are, whatever your age, whatever your sect, these are all important, foundational. Kurma Dave rests in these instructions. He'll be there to support us whenever we follow these instructions. These things are very important as far as how to apply them to a particular situation. That may vary. And for that we can ask senior devotees. And the way Prabhupada set up ISKCON for those details, it's not that we just go to our guru, we could go to the local authority. Prabhupada had thousands and thousands of disciples. How many approached him with these questions? Only a few. Everyone else just asked their authorities. President of Chicago or President of London, yes? Senior devotees, sannyasis coming. And they were to give us those details. But Prabhupada gave us all the foundational instructions. Does that answer your question?
Thank you.
Hare Krishna. You're welcome. Yes, Srinathji Prabhu.
With your kind permission, Maharaj, I wanted to add to what was mentioned. I remember, Maharaj, once I had asked a similar question to Srila Prabhupada because I was still searching. And he said that the yogis other than bhakti yogis are seeing Paramatma in the mirror of their mind and not associating, therefore, with Paramatma and not offering service to Paramatma because they are seeing only the mirror, the reflection in their mind. And the bhakti yogi is associating with Paramatma by devotional service and seeing Paramatma as such and not as a mirror reflection. So he convinced us to rise above that level. Hare Krishna.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Most perfect answer. Thank you. So we shouldn't be so attached to looking in the mirror. We should take more pleasure in seeing the beautiful form of Radha Gopinath. Go Premanandi. Thank you very much.